this thing. No title again.
And I did only be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick. Happy Thanksgiving, if you're a Canadian. It is Thanksgiving weekend. It is the Sunday of. And I'm sitting right now on a picnic table on the shore, or the banks of the Rideau River, just outside Kingston. A lovely spot. It's called the Rideau Acres Campsite. Wonderful idea. My brother, who has a trailer, beautiful trailer, decided they'd spend Thanksgiving here and invited his daughter and her husband, who have a pop-up trailer, to join them, and then said, well, hey, you know, why shouldn't my sister also come down? There's room for them to sleep in the trailer, and since my sister's going, well, hell, why don't we ask our brother, younger brother, that's me, to join them too? So here I am for Thanksgiving, and I'm so glad I came down. It's such a beautiful spot. We've got nice... I left Toronto in the rain, and it's quite nice here. Clouded over a little bit, but it's been warm. And we got the couple of camp spots, sort of not your provincial park type of camping. It's sort of fields, but right, the whole thing follows the shores of the Rideau. So it's quite beautiful. It's packed full. This is we're sitting on a multi million dollar property, a campsite that's been around for a long time, and it is packed full of trailers, some of which are here year round. Lovely old trees and just absolutely beautiful surroundings. So I came down to the riverside because my nephew is taking his children out for a little boat ride. He's got a canoe and he put a motor on the back of it and just loves going up and down this river. And I just thought I'd extend my greetings and say this is mostly because I don't have a memory anymore. And if you ask me next year, what did I do last Thanksgiving, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But if at least if I put it out in recording, we'll all know. Last night, 9 o'clock, said goodbye to my wife as she, 9:30 as she went up the escalator in Union Station, Toronto, to get on that train to Vancouver. So she's somewhere in Northern Ontario right now. And I'm hoping, in fact, I'm sure she's just going to have a wonderful trip. And I'm just very, very happy about that. That's kind of what makes it special, too. I've asked my number two son if he wanted to come, knowing he would not want to come because he was still in bed when I left Toronto at 11 this morning in the rain. And now I'm going to head back. We're going to have our turkey dinner out at the campsite, which is lovely. And I'll probably head back tomorrow. But I just thought I'd touch base, say hello, get started. Partly I mentioned last time I dug out a whole bunch of my old journals and went through them. And I've decided rather than make them a part of the Dixon James podcast, I may do it as a separate podcast. And so I put one up tentatively, asked a couple of friends maybe if they'd listen and let me know what they think, whether I should keep doing it. I like the idea when I go back to find out, holy shit, I'd forgotten about that. And there are parts where I do capture the times. My sister warned me, well, be careful what you say, and you better black some of those names out. Maybe you should just burn those things, because there's a whole lot about, oh, lots of things and lots of people's lives in there. But I think I'll just very carefully go through and pick things up. So I started off, I put out a 30-minute clip, and if I decide to go ahead with it, I will let you know. I'll put out a tweet, or won't do it on Facebook because it's still kind of the Scarborough Dude, even though it's Ken. But you'll find out. Or if you're interested at all in hearing any of my journal entries, the last one started at April 24th, 1975, because that's when I just got my license and was heading up to Prince George. So it's a good starting point. I'll probably go back to 1969 on my next one and so on. And I just thought I'd maybe release them in, 20, 30-minute segments of the past. Because when I look back at it now, man, am I ever glad I've got those written diaries. It brings back to life So much of me that just long since forgotten. A lot of misery, a lot of loneliness, but also a lot of good times too. And probably too much alcohol and drugs. But anyway, that's the way it is. So I'm going to rejoin the family. This is just an introduction. I'm going to go back to the campsite or maybe take a walk through this park and share just a little bit more with you. But that's it for now. So stay tuned. Take care. And be thankful for all the wonderful things you too have in your life, just as I am in mine. Family being one of them. Bye for now. Chick, chick, chick. Chick, chick. Scarborough Dude, back at you from the Kingston Waterfront Trail. It's a lovely little spot. I've never been in this exact location. Looking in at an inner harbor. To my left is the Holiday Inn where we used to hold the PAB conferences. I'm looking right up on that top floor where we used to eat. I can see the restaurant where we ate, and God, that was fun. The PAB conferences in Kingston were something quite special. It's history, again, but wonderful and tremendous. From this line of vision, you've got 1, 2, 3 Martello Towers, these round British defense towers. They're just amazing things to see. They're just perfectly intact. I mean, they're old. They were never used in war, but of course, this is strategic. This is Kingston is the border between the St. Lawrence River and Lake Ontario, and then joining is the Rideau Canal that you often hear me talk about, the Rideau River where we camped last night, and the Rideau Canal, which was the way of built by the military to be able to send troops down to defend Kingston if attacked, and of course it never was. After 1812, 1814, that was the end of the war, the fighting between the Americans and the soon-to-be Canadians. Also looking straight across at Royal Military College, and behind that, there's a lovely a place, the Kingston, the old Fort Henry, where we used to bring our students up on a hill, again overlooking this same, the city, the harbor, and spent lots of time there as well. This is a very busy, the particular bench, it's isolated, and yet, being the waterfront trail on a Sunday morning or Monday morning holiday, there's a lot of traffic, people going back and forth. But I just thought I'd, check in. I'm on my way home. Left the campsite, said goodbye, big hugs all around to brother, sister, nephew, niece, their kids, who I get a real kick out of, especially their little girl, who I just get along fun with little girls who are just at an age where you can just be silly and play and have fun. And lots of things, lots of exciting things, lots of good conversations, digging up family history and so on, and memories of our common, our shared childhood. But because of the age difference, my brother's 5 years older, my sister's 7 years older, we have quite different memories from the different places we lived in. But it's good to get together. I don't often do it. I don't do it often enough. But Kingston, this was a great place to meet. It's only 2.5 hours from Toronto to get here. So anyway, I think I'm just going to enjoy maybe an hour or two. I've got friends here. I don't know if they're home, but I'm just going to enjoy a little bit of time wandering around the streets of Kingston, looking at the Wolf Island Ferry just coming in. And it's a beautiful city on a beautiful day. And there's lots to see, lots of good restaurants. And again, as I walk through, the streets are sort of haunted with memories of the PAB conferences. That was a special, real, just a gelling point where the community came together. It was a wonderful thing. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mark, for putting all that together. It worked. So I think I'll just continue my walk. And, maybe you want to walk with me a little bit? You come around the corner and you see this beautifully old, I guess it's the town hall, a sort of a white domed building. It's the one landmark that really stands out clearly in this city. It's stunningly beautiful. This used to be part of my study tour, so I would also come here every year with my Japanese students with the girls, and we'd spend an afternoon in Kingston, and the night, actually, with Gananoque boat cruise and a night here, and it was always fun, but we cut that out of our tour, so I just don't get back just as often. Okay, talk to you in a bit. Bye for now. Check, check. Check. I'm parked at a railway crossing. There's a slow-moving freight train going through of, like, looks like 100 of these, you know, the black tanker cars containing some kind of liquid or fuel or gas or whatever, the kind of things you don't want to derail in front of you because they'll blow up and take you with it. On Highway 2, on my way back, I just decided instead of the 401, I drove so far the entire way by Highway 2. In fact, I even took a detour down through a place called Deseronto and through a few native reserves, I don't know what else to call them, where you can get cheap gas and no tax on your food and buy cheap smokes, all brands, again, without the tax. So that's kind of interesting. Just looks a little different vibe. Ooh, we're in Canada, but we're in kind of, this territory's got a different feel to it. You know, the rules are different here. But it's also just been beautiful. It's a fall, beautiful fall day. There's a lot of trees still in color, like bright yellow or orange. And it's so relaxing. Every time I go camping, the post-camping drive is always so pleasant. And I'm just so glad I decided to take the slow road back, the old Highway 2. Eventually I'll get onto the 401, but for now, this is just a treat. I stopped in Kingston, saw my good friends, Alvin and Brady. Got caught up on our family. We always exchange notes, who's doing what. We've known each other for a long time. And, by the way, finally figured out it was Alvin, the person I saw the Rolling Thunder review with, because he had seen it too. And I said, well, if you saw it, it had to be December 1975. It's the only time it was in Toronto, and that's where he was living then. And we had just met prior to that, because we went to Mexico shortly after. So that mystery is solved. Alvin was the guy sitting beside me, and he didn't remember I was the guy sitting beside him either. We both know we were high, and we enjoyed the concert. He remembered Scarlett Rivera and her violin and certain parts. So it was kind of funny. It's great to catch up with old friends, but it's also great. I'm again back to these journals. I'm feeling like that old guy. I'm talking about my old Datsun 510 that I got. 1979, I suppose, that one. I've had a couple of them. But just the freedom of driving on a highway by yourself, of how nice that was, how great it felt just to be on the open road, alone, music playing. And that's exactly what I'm doing today, and I've got a very similar feeling. Okay, train stopped. I gotta go. Bye for now. Yeah, we gotta go. Okay, back to me. It was easy to get on one side or the other, you know, be with the
yeah, it's my podcast.
Know, Nixon and for the war.
I had the iPod on shuffle and I came up with me, not my fault.
Or just say, wait a minute now, that may not be true what you're telling us.
Okay, might not be
so,
true. Probably
I
is.
Think people of my generation, it was a little easier to challenge, and I think, I like to think it's happening now too. I think I see it in my sons. I'm just not taking things for granted, but.
Lazy day, Sunday afternoon. You like to get your feet up, watch TV. Sunday roast is something good to eat. Must be lamb today, 'cause beef was last week. Not of happy dreams. Wake up for tea and butter scones. Search a lot to work for new Sunday homes. Days have been sent, and you're feeling content. You were.
Scarborough Dude back at you from Bluffers Park. Ooh, I better check in. Somebody stole a fucking mayorship from me here at Bluffers. I better get that back. It's mine. Come on, I've been here the most. It's a Wednesday morning, my day off, as you know. And I got marking and stuff I kind of want to do today to get out of the way. But need this little break. Come down here with my thermos of coffee, my books, my, listening to Mark Blevis on his, mini cast and other people. Mark pointed out that I had 22 businesses, not many of which are in operation, and he's actually quite right. Although the number may be just a tad off. It's overcast, sun breaking through. I'm just where I'm sitting in the front car. I'm looking straight out at Lake Ontario, but also just off to the right to the bluffs. Friday is the Toronto Motorhome Show, and I've decided, yesterday I got some mail from the Winnebago Company showing me all their latest models, and obviously this thing has bitten me. And then this weekend, camping and talked about buying a trailer with my brother and sister and just have a permanent base, in Rideau Acres. Oh, man, that'd be close, it'd be great. Not that far from Ottawa. I mean, this is just close to Kingston. Wouldn't that be cool to put sharesies into a trailer and have a place you can come down to whenever you want an escape? And then thought, oh, man. How often would I really want to come down and sit in a trailer in a trailer park, Why? Where's your head, dude? What is it you want to do? Last night I was Skyping with Brian. By the way, just for the record, I do tie up the loose ends, okay? I may fire off in 20 directions all at once, like buckshot gone, but I know what I'm aiming for. And last night I Skyped with Brian in way the hell up in Peru, some high mountain. He had just done Machu Picchu, posted his pictures on Facebook. They were fantastic. He said it was a real climate. Everybody in the group was just out of breath to get up to that level, and a hard climb, but just a glorious sight. So I'm a bit envious. I'm envious not just the fact that he's free to go and do this, because he worked hard, up north as principal, teacher. He's got a good pension, and so he's earned his break now. And it was kind of neat that he just gave up teaching at the college. He had just had enough. Bam. Whereas I'm sort of just still begging for my positions. I got to keep at it. That's the difference between us. So I can't afford this. And then visited Alvin and Brady in Kingston. Oh, they're off for 2 months to Thailand and Vietnam, Cambodia, India. They'll start off in Japan. Oh, man, There's another $10,000 vacation for the two of them. I'm like, fuck, man, I can't just drop 10 grand for a holiday. So this ties into this motorhome thing. Maybe do I want these trips around Europe? I've done a fair amount of travel. Never enough, of course, but still. I don't think I have the health and the stamina and the heart to go climbing up Machu Picchu like Brian can. I'm envious of, like I say, not just his freedom, but his health that he can do this. Brian is just a motor that just keeps on going. He is the ever-ready bunny and doesn't stop. And just, it's amazing. And I'd just be tired out. No, I just want to chill for a while. I just want to sit here and have a coffee in the town square and watch people. And then maybe go into a church and sit in the church for an hour and groove. I'm conflicted. I'm looking into the future. What am I going to do when I finally do give up this job? When my wife gives up her job And of course, part of that picture is, man, to have a really nice little motorhome where you could just say, yeah, I want to tour the States. I want to go to Nashville, you know, pop in on Dave. Hey, don't worry, Dave. Hey, we'd have our own place to stay. Don't even have to park in your driveway. I just want to see you and get a tour of Nashville. And then, man, some of the southern states and just driving around North America in one of these babies. And I don't want this great, big, huge monster. I want just a tiny little job, but everything points towards that Mercedes motorhome. Man, the diesel engine, is that what you want? Yeah, it'll go on forever. And I think, well, that's way down the road. And then you think, well, wait a minute. You wait way down the road and you're going to be worse of a driver and you still got health issues and you put it off and then it's too late. You don't do it. So I'm going to go to this motorhome and I'm kind of hoping one or the other is going to happen. They're either going to say, fuck, that's it. Man, these things are too expensive. They're crazy. Why would I want to tie up, you know, $100,000 in fucking some vehicle, some dinosaur, when I could take that money and have just beautiful holidays all over the place, wherever I wanted to go, carefree, just get in a plane and go. You know, and I kind of want to sort that out. But again, it's the kind of brain I have that, once I'm feeding on stuff, I have to constantly be feeding. They did a great Modern Family episode where they're talking about the young boy. I can't remember. It's not Luke. I can't remember his name. His ADD, how he just can't focus and he's just all over the place, you know, and kind of out there. And I'm very familiar with this kind of thing. And then it turned out, well, the dad had it, you know, and as he goes to do one thing, he notices something screws loose, got to get a screwdriver, goes to get a screwdriver, find something else. And I am like that, just all over, just boom, boom, boom. You never stick the way some people can. But here's the task at hand. This is what I'm doing now. It's like coming up for these podcasts. Okay, I've got my papers. I know what marking I have to do today. But fuck, man, it's my day off. It's Wednesday. I don't have to teach Wednesday. I don't have to go into school. They're not paying me for the day. I'm just going to go down to Bluffers Park and talk to my friends, you know, and before I can do anything else. So my mind has to be, have new ideas that can entertain me. You know, it's just like the brain cells, the neurons, the synapses have to just be constantly firing on something new and shiny. And that's, I don't know that that's a good thing. It's just the way I am. I don't have a whole lot of choice in the matter. And so this whole business about, you know, a motorhome is just one of them. Wow, they're just so neat. It's like, you know, it was like those old, you know, if you watch the progress here, you know, a few weeks ago I was going on about my old car magazines and vehicles. Oh, yeah, they're neat. They're neat. I'm looking at my car now. Somebody keyed my Mazda the other day, just for the fuck of it, parked in the parking lot. I'm pretty sure it was a Go parking lot. Just took a key or a coin or whatever, the whole length of the car. Like, you fuckers who do that. You just want to take that person, bunch up your fist, and smack him really fucking hard right in the jaw. Just bam, right in the fucking face. Knock him down. Do it again. Bam, one more. Twice. That's all I need. Just twice. Really fucking hard in the face. Draw blood. Knock a two sleuth. Two sleuths. But it just, like, you stupid fucking asshole, why would you even do that? Why the fuck would you do that, asshole? Anyway, yeah, I didn't know I was going to get rid of that one. Well, my point, because I said I always tie up the threads, okay? I always weave them together, believe it or not. Maybe you can't see it, but I can. Is that I don't really look after. I don't clean my car. The inside's a mess. You'll find a coffee cup on the floor. Actually, I just dumped it today. And it, you know, I don't do. And I'm thinking, boy, if my wife was in on this with me. And this is the big question about buying it. If my wife buys into it, bam, it's a go. And that may make a lot of sense, you know. And basically, it's going to have to be a mutual decision. And that's a good thing. Maybe this is going to be one of those big mutual decisions. Should we get a motorhome or should we just take some money and, excuse me, head off to Cambodia? You know, what should we do? Can you do both? Well, yeah, don't think so. And if she was buying into it, guaranteed that thing is going to be nice and clean and neat, you know, and she'll keep me on my toes. Hey, don't leave that lying around. And it would be very good because you got to go minimalist. It's like being on a boat, you know, a yacht. You've got to, you've really got to watch what you pack, you know, and reduce the amount of clutter. And now, you know, I'm sitting here on a house in Scarborough worth a hell of a lot more than it was when I paid for it. It's not paid for, of course, but a large chunk is. And I guess, yeah, I keep thinking I'm poor, but holy shit, if I really decided to pare down to get rid of the house, that would pay for a motorhome and another, you know, another smaller, lesser place to live. But you see, I'd want to move out of Toronto to a different place, and there again, decision with my wife. Well, hey, she's not going to go to Brockville or, you know, Port Hope or someplace else. Why would she want to do that? That'd just be hell for her to be isolated. I could manage in a little small rural Ontario town. I would be quite happy and being able to leave whenever you wanted. But she would miss the big city. She would miss Toronto. This wouldn't work. So there's just so many variables, and I guess that's what it comes down to. So for now, I'm going to the motorhome show Friday, which is where we started, more or less. And I'm just going to look and walk away with some pamphlets and dream a little bit. But there won't be any decisions made for a very long time. And I'm not about to get sucked into anything. Hey, here's the deal today, man. Don't walk away from this baby. Although I did see a Volkswagen Westphalia, like a much, we're talking about scale down, much smaller model. But it was 1985 or 87, I guess. And it was still going for like $24,000. And holy fuck, man, a 15-year-old car, vehicle, and you still want $24,000? Well, they're a rare breed, these Westphalias. They're really nice. This looked in mint condition. But still, you know. Anyway, let's drop that. Let's drop this whole motor vehicle thing and get back on. I was teaching yesterday, and when I went in, I just didn't feel like teaching. It was post-holiday, and I still had that wonderful holiday feeling. How good it felt, as I mentioned, to take Route 2, Highway 2, the old Kingston Highway, on out of Kingston, and drive back, you know, all the way up to Port Hope, and then from there up onto the 401, and it was bumper to bumper traffic, stop, go, speed, slow. Oh my God. But did I ever enjoy the beauty of all the trees and the gorgeousness of that highway too, and just the free feeling of travel, of driving. And that's, again, that's the pull towards one of these motorhomes, just the open road. You think, where would you go? Okay, ma'am, you got the Maritimes. Bam, all of that. You'll never tire the Maritimes. PEI, you know? Okay, that's one. Then you got out west. Holy fuck, the Rockies, Vancouver, British Columbia, Victoria, Vancouver Island. Holy fuck, man, yeah, that's great. Then you got the entire states, you know? Oh, my God, I do so, whatever, for whatever reason, have to see the Grand Canyon and Mount Rushmore, and I've never been to Florida, you know, and holy shit, back down to California, really, yeah, oh yeah, man, oh man, so much. Oop, we're back there. How to be, I need to pick up that needle off that track and go back a cut, or go forward a cut, I guess that's what I have to do, skip that track. So, anyway, I guess, yeah, yesterday I went in, and I just didn't feel like teaching because I had that post-holiday kind of, man, drag your ass in. I love that class. And by the time I left class, I was smiling. I was telling the students, thank you. You just picked me up. And, well, thank you, sir, you know. And they're just such a great group. It's just so satisfying. Even though I wonder, you know, am I really doing the best I can as a teacher? Well, you always do that as a teacher, just like being a parent. But you give it your shot, and if the people are coming and they're responding and they're awake and they're paying attention, then yeah, maybe you're doing something right. So that's what I got to keep doing for a while yet, and just salt away a little more money and make my dreams come true, whatever they may be. All right, I guess I'm going to stop there. This is a bit of a mishmash of a podcast of bits and pieces here and there, but it's the sun is shining, and the doctor told me I got to get exercise. So I think I'm going to drive over to the other parking area and take a walk. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. That's a much healthier thing to do. So talk to you in a bit, and I'll be right back. And please, keep listening. I need you. Bye for now.
Now you know that you are real. Show your friends that you and me belong to the same world. Turned on to the same world. Have you heard? Life at ease. Each day has its own ways. A look down life's hallways, doorways to lead you there. Now you know how nice it feels. Scatter good seed in the field. Life's ours for the making. Eternity is waiting. Waiting for you. Show your friends that you and me belong to the same world. Turned on to the same world. Have you heard? Have you heard?
Check. I'm not sorry about the background noise. I deliberately unrolled my windows. Did I unroll my windows? No, they're automatic. Push down my windows. And I guess we got, cement mixers, heavy-duty machinery. I'm parked in front of the Scarborough Civic Center, or what was then the Raymond Moriyama building, where I used to podcast from. I remember I used to go up to my handicapped spot and overlook the big park. Well, it's been closed off for months now as they're, it looks like they're building an underground garage or something, completely redoing the whole site. It is getting a little noisy. I'm saying, all right. Jesus Christ. Here, up with the windows. It's a busy street, too. Ron, okay. It's another beautiful sunny day. It's Friday. I've just finished my teaching class. I only had about six students today, but it was six the six serious students, some of them with perfect attendance so far. So it was actually a pleasure to teach. They actually paid attention. They had questions. We were doing proper use of commas. We were doing what we call complex sentences, which, of course, you know, is when you have an independent clause combined with a dependent clause using a subordinating conjunction, right? Yeah. And that was fun, and it was just, as always, enjoyable, and especially the Friday, the two-hour class. I don't even go into the office. Straight to class, straight out. Bam. And here I am. My son and I are soon going off to the RV show, and you'll probably hear a little bit about that, because I'm not going to finish this podcast today on Friday. It's beautiful. The sun's shining, and there is still a lot of yellow left on the trees here in this little park. The park where you used to sit right on the blankets while I gave my sermons from the mount up there. Hadn't been back here for a long time. The only reason I'm here is that I just didn't want to go to Bluffers, or I'll save that for tomorrow morning. But I wanted to get a few words in to just cobble this damn thing together. Lots on my mind. I picked up a book the other day, and I remembered who gave it to me. Long ago, it was 2001, so 12 years ago. And I thought, well, I better send that friend an email just to catch up. And I remembered he had a child, a Japanese wife. This is a good friend, a friend who renounced his American citizenship. I won't give his name. He's very private. But he's somebody who used to be, I met him, wow, I guess I met him online in Japan back in the 80s. And we became very, very good friends. Don't see each other all that often. We were always living in different parts of the world, but on many, many occasions for very deep conversations, a special friendship. But I felt terrible that I knew he had the one son, and I think vaguely in the back of my mind, maybe he had another child. And I looked in my address book, and yes, I saw the name of the first son, but see, the last address I had from him was Japan, and so I wrote him, and I said, you know, forgive me. My memory is really, really bad. I don't even know if you may have another child. It turns out he's in Singapore and has been for years since the last time he wrote to me, and I'd completely forgotten he'd started a new life in Singapore, and now as his children are getting a little older, and yes, he did have a second son, born a year ago, and stuff I had known and forgotten, and it scared me. It really made me think, holy fuck, dude, you're not just joking about forgetting things. You really are forgetting things. And when you get to be older, and you've got this monster under the bed, this boogaboo of Alzheimer's, I know I'm not at all, because, I mean, I'm fully functioning. Hey, I'm teaching, and I'm on my game teaching. I really know what I'm doing, and I'm taking these courses, and I'm getting A+ in these courses. The brain is working. It's just the memory lapses, and I have nothing to compare it with. You know, when I hear somebody in their 40s say, oh, I've forgotten all my stuff, I feel good. And, of course, I'm repeating myself now because you've heard all this before from me. And I think that's what he used to listen to the podcast in very, very beginning days and, of course, hasn't for many years. And I said, please don't bother, because nothing's happened in those many years. I'm not evolving. I'm not progressing. I have nothing to say. And I wasn't being humble. I value this friendship with this special person over in Singapore. And it's not Singapore Sam. That's another friend. This is somebody else. And I just felt he'd be so disappointed if, you know, he heard this Ken now compared to the guy he used to know that could engage in good conversations with. I really feel like he'd be disappointed and saddened, maybe. And just after I sent that email, all those effect, you know, apologizing for forgetting his second son and explaining my memory lapses, suddenly, with no connection at all, but bam, I get an audio message from my other Kenneth friend. Just an update, letting you know he's still listening. And I said, you know, your timing is so uncanny that suddenly, bam, wow, this came at a time when I'm just sort of saying, my brain doesn't work, I've got nothing to say. And here's a guy saying, hey, don't worry, I'm still listening, man. I'm with you. And it was kind of reassuring. And in fact, he was even, the point of his message was even that he would listen to an old podcast from over a year ago and said, I can see progress. Like, maybe you're in a better place or something. And it was, I deny it, but it was nice to hear it anyway. Oh, God, it sounds an awful lot like I'm whining, doesn't it? I'm not going to say I'm sorry, but yeah, I'm sorry. I really do. I guess he was alluding to the fact that in the beginning I used to say I wanted to reach enlightenment, and it's very, very clear I'm not going to reach any state of enlightenment, but maybe my idea in the first place was completely wrong. It's not that craving for enlightenment. It's the real growth that you want in your life, and I seem to be happier, and yet you might be listening and say, no, dude, you don't sound happier at all. I don't know. I just know that... What do I know? I know that my marriage has survived. I know that I'm very happy that my wife is right now on the Sunshine Coast in Vancouver with my cousin, and that somehow we were able to arrange all of this, and she's very grateful that I helped set up this holiday for her. And I'm just very grateful that now, 26 years... In fact, it's this month, October 31st, our anniversary, probably the 27th anniversary, that the marriage has survived. And I'm grateful for it. And we may be together in the future. And this is against a period of time when it was very, very clear, as I mistakenly told my sons, your mom and I are probably getting divorced. And I'm so glad we didn't. And when I go back through those diaries I sometimes talk about, and I will be taking that up a little more seriously a little later on, and I will find those passages when I was just so, so excited. The passages of the letters, more of it was in letters there, when I found this person and I knew I wanted her to be my wife. I knew I wanted to marry her. In spite of all the obstructions and difficulties involved, that this was a good thing, and maybe really that's what I'm celebrating. And the other thread I took up with this conversation with this friend I had regained contact with after really what wasn't such a long time. I'm thinking it might have been many years, and it really wasn't. It was only a year or so, because he had written to me to tell me about the birth of a second son just over a year ago, which I again had forgotten until I dug out my emails and found, oh, there it is. The question on his mind was, where is he going to bring up his children? He's renounced his American citizenship. He's been living in Japan. In Japan, his children will be biracial, which isn't always easy. He did get Australian citizenship. That was a game plan from long ago, and now he's trying to decide, where will I raise my family? Where do I want to bring up my children? And it really struck home, because I realized, whoa, I had forgotten what a big decision this was, and how difficult it was for my wife to give up her country, Japan, so we could start a new life in Canada, which I had thought would be a better place to bring up our children. I don't regret that. I think that was the right thing to do, and Toronto was the right city to come to. But those are big, big decisions when you marry from another culture, another country. And you have to make these kind of choices. So anyway, I guess I'm starting to wander now, and you're saying, hey, dude, didn't you just a little while ago tell us you always tied up the threads? And now you've got this mess of spaghetti, but I don't see how any of it connects. Well, you'll just have to wait, because maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. I'm just going to stop now, go home, get a bite to eat, and head off to that RV show. And then see, there's another stretch. And of course, that does fit, because the whole future of whether or not I ever buy into an RV really depends on the relationship I have with my wife and what that would mean to her future. And whether I picture myself as a pilgrim heading off to India on my own, or picture ourselves in a comfortable little RV traveling North America together. And whether that would work out, or whether that would just be absolute hell for both of us, I really don't know.
So stay tuned. And thanks, Kenneth, for listening and cheering me up and sending your note at what seemed to be just the right time once again. And to the rest of you, hey, you can cheer me up anytime by dropping a line at dicksonjanes@gmail.com. That's all one word, DicksonJanes. And let me know that you're still out there listening. Like people like Christine out in the West Coast, who used to be. Is she still? Are you out there, Christine? Tell me. Okay. And thank you, Mountain Mona, Northern California, for tuning in via Chub Creek. Much appreciated. Take care, boys and girls. Bye for now. Oh, by the way, I will be recording those diaries. They will be in a separate stream, separate podcast. It'll go up under my Having Said That link. And for that alone, well, that's another long story about the Moody Blues. You're going to hear some Moody Blues in this collection. Because while I was talking about recording, I figured I needed a theme song. Right away, I said, you know, what about Dear Diary? I must have that. I've got all this Moody Blues stuff. And realized, what? I don't have Dear Diary. That's from In Search of the Lost Chord. And I don't have that CD. So I had to go and get that on iTunes. But before I'm buying it on iTunes, I better get out to Deja Vu and see if they got it there, and they don't have it there, but guess what? They got the Moody Blues greatest hits. Oh, hell! There's a whole bunch of new stuff on there that I haven't played for a long time, and I realized, hey, man, all this stuff, all your 60s music, and you never played the Moody Blues? Like, you hardly ever? Well, I have. No, bullshit, I've played lots of Moody Blues, but I haven't talked about them, because I've always had funny feelings about the Moody Blues. I've been a diehard Pink Floyd fan. They were the real thing. They were acid. They were the guys you listened to high. You smoked up some good hash and you put on Pink Floyd. But you did the same with the Moody Blues, and I always used to think somehow they didn't have the same substance, that they were imitators. And I'm thinking now that was really unfair. I don't know why I had this bias that they deserve their place. I think they've kind of been forgotten, that people really don't talk about them. Everybody still knows Pink Floyd. Every kid still gets turned on. But how many kids go back and discover the Moody Blues? Well, if you don't know them and you're a listener of this podcast, you are going to hear a little more Moody Blues. There you go. That's all I can say. Bye for now.
We're not listening. Okay, World Series, yes. I wanted to talk to you about this motor vehicle. I went in today absolutely convinced I found the model I wanted. This is the RV show my son and I went to. It was the Mercedes chassis diesel engine Class B motorhome. Road Trek is one model. I think Winnebago makes another one as well. And by the time we went through and stepped in and out and sat on sofas and so on, I said, no, I want this view version of a Winnebago Class C motorhome. Bigger, the pop outside. And so I just wanted to announce publicly, I'm not getting one. So I don't want anybody out there to say, oh my God, you hear that? The dude's getting a motorhome. Oh, by the way, if it sounds echoey, of course, I'm sitting in my living room. My son just stepped out, and I'm alone in the house. My other son, number one son, just Skyped me from the Sunshine Coast while my wife was playing pool with my cousin's wife. That's an aside, okay? Let's get back to the point. What I did was I downloaded the operating manual for the motorhome I had an interest in. Just went online, went to Winnebago, downloaded the line. And I'm on page, 58 of 124. This is the operating manual, page 58. And I read just enough to know that, holy shit, this isn't for me. Great sitting in the front seat. Wow, this would be fun. I'm looking at the beds. All I'm picturing is lying down. Maybe there's going to be a TV. Going to my computer. Reading some books, nice little galley there for cooking, and oh man, yeah, this is really cool. All I am picturing is just the leisure activities, you know, maybe a power awning that comes out the side, a couple of deck chairs, and wow, how nice that would be, some, you know, nice park down in the States. But the reality of servicing one of these beasts, the cost. You know, the very first page, you talk about lining up the wheels and once it's loaded and so on. And I'm like, holy shit, man, this is going to be... If I can't handle a pet, like I can't have a dog or a cat, I sure as hell can't handle a motorhome. And I'm really glad I downloaded this manual because it's just every page is telling me, dude, you don't want to do that. You don't want to think about that. Every single page of this operating manual has a box with that big warning triangle, you know? So I'm just looking, like, just randomly. The two best defenses against sulfating and insufficient charge are to turn off the house coach battery disconnect switch to avoid parasitic discharge, the trickle discharge caused by directly connected components like propane gas detectors or digital clock displays, etc. Two, check the battery and recharge as necessary at least once a month during the long storage periods. Turn the house coach battery disconnect switch off to avoid electrical arcing when attaching or detaching charger clamps. Now, to some of you, that's nothing. But that's just randomly one page of 124 pages. Holy Christ, the next page, warning, chassis batteries, circuit breakers. Of all the things, the water supply, the propane, the ventilation, what to do about mold and how to avoid getting mold, every fucking page of things that you have to be aware of. You have to know some guys are just plain handymen. Like Harold, this summer, this would suit him. He could do this. He would know. He could figure things out. This is beyond me. I would just be at a loss. The first time something doesn't work, I'm going to sit there and go, oh, fuck. Like, I can't, this is beyond, this is just not for me. Get a nice car, drive to a nice place, check into a motel, drive off the next day, you're done. Honestly, as much as I love this dream and I can picture all the beauty, the reality would just hit me like a fucking rock on the head. All the stuff about the gas pressure regulator, what to do during freeze-up time, propane gas pressure regulator, propane gas leaks, all this shit to lots of practical-minded guys. Piece of cake. Hey, man, yeah, that's just fun. For me, it's just grown. I can't even look after my house. I got a furnace down here. I don't know whether it's on or it's off half the time. Honestly, this is just nuts. So I'm putting that out there in case it sounded like, oh my God, the dude's going to buy himself a motorhome. I love the dream. I love the fantasy. I love just thinking. But I would want to be the wife in that role. I would want some guy in a plaid shirt to be looking after all the technical stuff. I'd need a Harold, you know, like I traveled with this summer. And that just doesn't sound right. And I don't think I could rely on my wife to be servicing these things. She's just not that type either. So I think that little dream is going bye-bye, okay? And I felt it necessary to tell that to you. And I guess, geez, now it's time to put this baby to bed. Put this baby to bed and get you started on a new Dixon James podcast. 4-0, St. Louis. Bye for now.
Throw, it might have been an interesting play at the plate.
I think he had a shot at throwing out David.